We are Dukes and Bell. We have an announcement. We're number one. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It's good to have you listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, his number one sports show. And, Mike, today is an off day for the Falcons. Scheduled, guys. Nothing happened. This is what the schedule is. We're back up there tomorrow, and we'll be broadcasting live from Hooters Mall of Georgia. So come on out and join us on a Friday. Mike said it gets kind of crazy. We have a lot of fun on Friday, so we're expecting folks to get off early and come hang out with us. We'll be there from 2 until 6. Meanwhile, we are going to talk about the Braves. Today I came in and I said, I'm just not buying what is being presented by these pitchers that you guys didn't trust when the season started. We'll find out what Grant thinks, because don't look now. Look, Grant Holmes looked like the real deal last night. Bryce Elder has been really damn good over his last four starts. Maybe we do have a legitimate 2 and 3 behind Chris Sale. But you haven't felt that way all season. We'll talk to Grant coming up here in about 10 minutes. Braves do continue to win, and that is the good news. This lead is 8.5 games in front of the Phillies. And Sean Murphy was back last night. We got a lot to catch up with Grant here on the show. But, Mike, as today is an off day, a couple of things that we're talking about. And one is, obviously, the Bijan Robinson contract. Colt star Jonathan Taylor gets his extension, 2 years, $44 million. We mentioned he's a few years older than Bijan Robinson, but Mike said it. They would be lost without him, but we're seeing all of these running backs, right, getting theirs. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be next. They were saying maybe by the end of the day, Mike, probably tomorrow, this thing may get done.
Hey, man, we've talked about, Bijan. Bijan's going to be like the highest paid guy for what, about a day?
Well, 3 days.
Right. I mean, that's why you 4 days. We talked about it, and I don't know who's going to rail against Bijan getting his deal. I don't know. Am I losing my mind on that? The greatest no-brainer of history is to give Bijan the money and not even think about it.
Hands down. And some people would argue that he should have got paid first.
Correct.
Some people will argue.
There's a way that we do. I think capology and the capologist work, it's a mystery to most of us, but we hired a really good guy that did it in Philadelphia, so they got a plan. It just worked out that Bergeron got his after Drake, and then Bijan got his. And by the way, the most uneventful, less controversial hold-in in NFL history.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I don't know how it's going to go with Gibbs and the Lions, and Bijan said he's talking to Gibbs about his deal. Jonathan Taylor just got a 2-year bump, right?
He did. And for B, here's the deal. Being the highest paid running back in the NFL, what does it mean for him? This is what he told us.
Great moment, especially talking to my family. After I talked to Nicole and just seeing their reaction, talking to my girlfriend, to my auntie, everybody that was just who I called that night after she told me, that's when it all hit. And I was like, man, this is obviously something that a lot of kids dream to have and work their whole life for. So for me to get to experience it and to, even hopefully help other running backs out, I think it's cool to continue to grow this position in all facets of the game, whether it's pass catching, running the football, just being a dynamic threat on the field. When you can have guys like that and have guys come after you like that, that's how you grow the game. So that's where it all hit for me. And, there was even yesterday, there's all these college running backs, some of the top running backs in college just texted me just saying thank you. and I was like, that's when I was like, man, that's a cool thing, just because I know where the position goes, but to get the position back to where, it used to be is the whole goal of what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, it was the glory position next to quarterback. Wide receivers have emerged in the passing era the last, 30 years of the NFL?
Yep.
And then it was almost running backs, who's going to give running backs? The Falcons put running backs back on. They didn't be sexy again.
Yes.
Them and then the Lions going with Jahmyr Gibbs just a few picks later in that draft, right?
Bringing sexy back with the running backs. No, man, it's true. And look, I think this game is always, what's old is new again.
Correct.
And for you to believe that you don't need a dynamic running back in this era, this day and age, to help you win a potential Super Bowl, I just don't believe that's the case. I don't think we're ever going to see the days of Walter Payton, Mike, or even an Emmitt Smith in the 90s where, it's based solely around that. These guys are so dynamic now. And I'll go back to this. And I told this story. I've told it many times now. But when Arthur Smith went to, and it just wasn't Arthur, it was the entire staff, his offensive staff at the time, they went to to Austin, the University of Texas, to work out Bijan. And my guys are calling and texting me and going, what are they doing down here? For not one, not two, it was days. And the deal is they ran Bijan through all these wide receiver routes. Guys, he ran routes better than most of the wide receivers that were drafted the year he came out.
Right.
That is why you're looking at him and going, okay, and we talk about positionless basketball where I can play a guy 1 through 5, right? That's how they foresaw, that's what they saw with Bijan. And we're seeing it now with him being able to do all these things. Guys, if he wanted to return kicks, he could. Now, I'm not putting him back there, but he could do that. And, Mike, that is what he's talking about, growing the position. And now you got these guys that are coming up after him that are going to be that next crop in 5 years or whatever that are coming out of school. They're going to go through their rookie deal. And the money will be much more significant because of guys like Bijan, Jahmyr Gibbs, and these guys, even Christian McCaffrey, who opened the door for a guy like Bijan.
And even if you're some cold-hearted son of a gun who doesn't care about the legacy of the running back, just what he does with the Falcons. You know, the Michael Penix line that got everybody laughing in the media room yesterday about saying there's a joke in the quarterback room when you get in trouble, just Bijan.
It's a great line.
In other words, just give the ball to Bijan, he'll make things happen. And I think that's what Stefanski will do. Now, the key is you can't run him into the ground. Derrick Henry has shown some signs of age and wear and tear. Saquon last year had a bit of a falling off because they ran everything on him the year they won the Super Bowl. But you just got to have the balance. We like Brian Robinson. I think also you find that was one of the cool things by having the two-headed monster the year we went to the Super Bowl. But it's Bijan's show.
Yeah. Well, that's a great example, though. We had a running game the year we go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
It's not dismissed. Matt had a great year, and he was the MVP. But we had a running game. Free was part of that. And I know some of y'all are still mad at him. Coleman. We had a running game, Mike. Mm-hmm. That is the key to a lot of this, especially with an offense that is relying on the play action like we are. Here's Jake Matthews, by the way. He was asked about Bijan Robinson's deal and what sticks out the most about him.
I think the thing that sticks out the most is his ability to cut in while changing direction, still maintain speed, and continue to press vertical. That's really hard to do. That's hard on your joints and everything. He makes it look easy.
The ability to cut full speed and change directions. It's the one thing where you hear guys on the defensive side, and I'm not just talking about our guys, I'm talking about around the league, go, whoa. Like I was there and I had him locked in and then he was gone. Right? That ability is special. And that is in traffic where it doesn't feel like there's anything and all of a sudden we look up and he's picked up 6 more yards. Right? Because of that ability.
The other thing with Bijan, and this is going to be interesting to see how it works, as you said, the passing game, the McCaffrey thing, in Stefanski's offense, what this guy can do to bail out. I mean, it's made for a guy like Tua. Look, I know guys, you want to see Penix, and mentioning Penix, because we're not talking about the quarterback, but yards after the catch and using him in the route running and Zachariah Branch. I mean, everything's kind of interconnected. All those things we thought we were going to be able to sort of set the tone years ago when it was Arthur.
Yeah.
And then it was when Zach Robinson came in that never really came to be. These guys will know how to use these guys and get the most out of it. And as we said, also not get too much wear and tear on B. And the other thing for Bijan is this is a guy that if ever there was a hold in that was like the most, as I said, less contentious, we saw him on the sideline. Day-Day, Yumi are standing there and he's just like ants in his pants. He's like, he's itching to get out there and he's dapping up everybody and he's involved with everything. He's engaged. You've heard about holdouts where it's like, mine is Paul and that's between y'all. It's not the way he works. He's a team player.
Yeah. He said he asked Nicole, that's his agent, by the way. She does a terrific job. She's got a bunch of NFL guys. And he was like, can I do some things? And she was like, no. this is part of it. And it was just funny to hear him say, like, I'm begging her, can I just do a couple of drills? Like, no, you're not doing anything. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's hear Tua, Mike. You just brought him up. What are the similarities to what he's seeing with Zachariah Branch to a couple of guys he threw to in Miami, including the Cheetah, Tyreek Hill, and Jalen Waddle, who's now in Denver?
Yeah, there's definitely similarities. Just being able to break away from coverage, if it's man coverage, more often than anything else, you know he's going to win. You know where he's going to be with his speed. And then outside of that, you know, just what he can do with the ball in his hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm ranting and raving about Zachariah Branch every day. We could talk about him every day just because I think he's popping.
Right.
At practice. There are certain guys where you watch them and you go, And if he pops like he is at practice, Falcon fans, I'm telling you right now, we're going to be very happy this season. We're going to be very happy throughout his course of his career here because he is just a playmaker. And, Mike, the thing is, you know, these slants and out patterns and stuff that we're watching him. He could easily turn those into 60-yard runs. And again, it's practice, so you're stopping plays. But that's what's eye-popping to me is like, okay, he's open, but he was open by like 5 yards on that guy.
Correct.
And that's what's like, oh, okay, what does that play on a Sunday look like?
Right. I mean, look, we've seen everybody from Zachariah Branch looking like, again, his route running, the crisp, boom, boom, boom. We talked about it yesterday, how crispy he is with his cuts. So even Alameda Zacchaeus make a nice play the other day. I mean, we got, look, the ceiling was raised. We had an, let's be honest, Carl, we had an awful wide receiver room last
year. Bad room.
You know, and the injuries just mounted up and added up. A couple guys asked us earlier, what's going on with the Jalen Walker situation? Well, he is done for the year, but as we brought up earlier, there's windows for everybody from Braylon Trice to a guy like Harold Perkins from LSU who's getting a chance, Carl, getting reps with the first team at the OLB position.
I think a bunch of guys are going to chime in, Mike, and contribute, especially if they don't go outside the building.
You think they have to? I mean, look, you got a couple more weeks. You're going to maybe have to wait for some cuts. You don't think they go for a veteran who's just kicking it out there as a free agent?
No, I don't. I don't think you just go get an old guy to get an old guy. And I say that with all due respect.
And we've kind of picked up some older guys on one-year deals as it is.
Yeah, I don't think that's the answer. Hey, man, we'll talk to Grant McCauley. Are we seeing what we're watching? Is it real with this starting rotation? Grant's going to join us next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Grant, what is going on with this pitching staff, man? I mean, all of a sudden, Grant Holmes and Bryce Elder look like Cy Young Award winners. Grant McCauley joining us here on Dukes and Bell. And the good news is the Braves continue to win. But part of my issue with this, and it's not an issue per se, it's just, is this an illusion, what we're seeing with Elder and Grant Holmes? How do you feel about what you've seen?
No, I mean, like, these are the kind of production that you need from them. I mean, let's be honest about that. I mean, if nobody's walking through that door, the guys you have are the guys that you have. So you want to see the best version of them. And, you know, I look at Bryce Elder in a lot of different ways. There have been some peaks and valleys to his season, but by and large, it's been better more times than it has been bad. But he went through about a 4-start sample there where it was just, you didn't think it could get much worse, and you were kind of wondering, is this going to sink his entire season? So I look at it more so that he was able to, and they rested him over a period of about 3 weeks, not throwing him too often, and he was able to answer and make his adjustments and get back to being an effective pitcher in the last 4 starts, 188 ERA, and you'll certainly take that. He's averaging 6 innings per start. You need that. Grant Holmes, kind of the similar spot. I was standing in front of Grant Holmes' locker, 2 starts ago, I think it was, and he was pulled in the 5th inning with 2 men out, and he wasn't happy about it because he wants to be out there competing. He wants to do more, but sometimes you have to earn that. And I think that little incremental things, the matchup of the game, the, you know, what the score is will dictate a lot. But I think that you've got to see these guys continue to build momentum and continue to earn those opportunities. And again, you need these guys to produce because there's nobody that's going to come in and take their spot at this point. So I think it's probably a lot of things can be true. Could the Braves have used some starting pitching help? Yes. But do they have some guys that are maybe more capable than we're giving them credit for? I think that could be true, too.
As we said, I mean, I don't want to be revisionist on this. I mean, the key is you got to be able to do this in October. And June was just such a discombobulated mess for almost everybody, you know, both at the plate or on the mound. But looking back at last night, you know, just that clutch. You know, Ronald Acuna with a hit, Baldwin with the 2 RBIs, obviously Dubon. And now Dubon plays second base. And I guess I think you tweeted that the Aussies is just getting a night off.
Just a night off for Ozzy. They've been trying to do this a handful of times this year. Walt's really joked about this. Ozzy doesn't want a day off. And he's just one of those guys that he wants to play the 162. And there are a few of those on this team that just that's the mantra that they have. That's how they were raised as players. And just what they look forward to is getting out there every day and playing baseball. Sometimes injuries take away that opportunity to do it. But if he's able to get up and feel good enough to play a baseball game, he wants to be in the lineup. So I think maybe some nicks and bruises are to be expected. We saw him foul that ball off his toe the other night, so I'm not totally shocked that Walt, you know, approached Ozzy about this again. But he let him know in advance, you're going to have the day off, get here a little bit later. He might find his way into the game a little bit, you know, into it, but not starting. Just getting the chance to get off his feet, I think, is a good thing for him.
Didier Fuentes, is this the plan for him now?
Yes. Yeah, for the 2026 season, they are committed to him as a leverage reliever. What this looks like beyond 2026, we'll find out next spring. But I asked Walt Weiss about this specifically yesterday. You know, was this always something you guys were eyeing, or has this evolved? And he said, no, I'd be lying if I said we came into the season and knew that this was going to be it. But he's done such a good job, and we've given him more chances and more responsibilities, and he's answered that time and time again. Mm. And now all of a sudden, he's just become an integral part of that bullpen. So, yeah, you've got the big relievers that you talk about that we expected, Raisel Iglesias, Robert Suarez when he gets back. Dylan Lee's been a big part of that. But Didier Fuentes, he's in that inner circle now, right? I mean, he's a guy that you're given opportunities to close games, to pitch with the tying runs on base, to just keep the game close all the time. And I think that the kid has really, really shown a knack for being able to, you know, step up in those big moments, and that's a huge thing to see from a 21-year-old.
I love it. Nothing against J.R. Ritchie. I just think I'm just a fan of him. I think he's got a higher upside. And tell Hafner we need him to be a starting pitcher out of Northport next year. Get on that, Grant.
We'll see.
And, you know, you already talked about Elder making some adjustments. How big has Hafner been, you know, for this team?
I think he's been huge, and I really look forward to kind of getting the opportunity, you know, before this year's over to kind of sit down with him now that we have a larger sample size. And did the same thing. I did this with Tim Hires a while back, where you just start to go through each player and kind of talk about their season and what they needed and how you coach individuals, because this is not as simple as you come in, you hand them a report, they all of a sudden know the lineup like the back of their hand, and they know what they're going to do. There's a lot of information that goes into this. There's a lot of planning that goes into this. There are catchers meetings. There are pitchers meetings. There's everybody kind of working in concert to try to prepare not just that day's starter, but everybody to know what they're going to be going into battle against. And I think he's done a great job of taking that information and delivering it to this pitching staff. So everything I've heard about him has been incredibly complimentary in terms of the work and the understanding and the coaching that you do along the way. Because Tim Hudson, I'll never forget this. It was 20-something years ago now, but he said when the Braves went from Leo Mazzoni to Roger McDowell, the question was asked to him, well, what are you guys going to do now? It's going to be so different. He said, no, it really won't be that different. A pitching coach's job is not to teach us how to pitch. It's to massage egos. And that I always thought was pretty funny, pretty pragmatic by Tim Hudson. He'd know a thing or two about that. And I think that that's something that Jeremy Hafner is really good at. It's dealing with those personalities and understanding how to meet them where they are a lot of the time.
Sean Murphy's return, 1-for-4 last night. What's it mean for this team, and what do you see moving forward as far as lineup and how they're going to play him with this situation?
Well, it's an extension of what we just talked about with what can you do to elevate a pitching staff right now. How about put the best game caller that you've got available to you back into that catcher's room to work with these guys and back behind the plate on a semi-regular basis? He'll do some catching while Drake Baldwin gets to DH. And that's just going to kind of be how they approach this thing as you move through. Some days DH won't belong to Sean Murphy as much as it will to Drake Baldwin, because obviously we know what kind of hitter Baldwin is. And for Murphy, I don't think that's really the plan for him. But I would expect to see him take a significant load off of Drake Baldwin, which will, I think, ultimately help Drake Baldwin to not only be able to go in and get 3, 4, 5 at-bats in a particular night, but not have to go through the rigors of catching, because that's what they wanted, right, was a timeshare that made sense, to have a catcher that can do the things Murphy does and offer you some offensive upside when he's going well. And I realize it hasn't been offensively what you want from Sean Murphy, but the effect that it has for Drake Baldwin and the effect that it has in a positive way for game calling and planning for the pitching staff are reasons why Sean Murphy makes this club better.
Hey, man, when are we going to see Tyler Mahle? Is he going to be up there in the Yankees series?
He will be starting Friday at Yankee Stadium for the opener of that 3-game series. So welcome to Atlanta, and now jump on a plane and head to New York and face one of the toughest lineups in baseball. It's going to be his first assignment. But I think the Braves are excited to see what they've got here. They believe that there are some changes to make with his arsenal that could help him maybe have more success, particularly against right-handers. But, you know, nobody's under, I think, any false impression that this was a move that's just going to shake the foundation of the pitching staff. But it is one that's going to add some layers of depth that were needed, and some quality and competitive innings is what they're hoping for, because that's what he was given the Giants for the last month and a half.
And as we said, team's on a roll, so it's not like they're tight. But it seems like the Brent Suter guy looks like he brings some looseness to the clubhouse.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he's a guy that I think brings big personality, and also somebody that brings a lot of durability. Because I asked Alex Anthopoulos after the trade deadline, it was what it was, but you know, what was the vision of covering the innings that have been such a problem for the starting staff and been such a strain on the bullpen? And he said Suter's really one of our big answers for this, because he can throw multiple innings. And if you go and look at, I believe it's last 4 years, most innings thrown by relief pitchers, he's in the top 5. So they just got somebody that he may not throw the hardest, but he's got a very deceptive delivery that makes it feel like maybe that fastball plays up a little bit higher than 88 miles an hour, because he has top level extension, which is kind of something that the hitters have to deal with that makes him harder to pick up. And obviously the rubber arm thing helps a lot for this bullpen. You just were trying to make that group a little bit better, a little bit more fortified. And I think Suter does check that box.
You cool with Austin being in the eighth spot right now? Do you foresee him being moved around, or is this going to be his lot in life right now?
I think it could be bumped up, and if we start to look at, you know, the last couple of weeks, the last month, all of a sudden Austin Riley's put together a decent little run of overall stats. There's still some swing and miss in there, but I believe he's tops in the National League in hard hit percentage since the middle of last month. That's not nothing. That's the kind of thing you needed to see, was consistent hard contact. I don't know how many times on our calls I have said that exact phrase. When I start seeing that is when I'll start believing that Austin Riley is starting to find things and figure things out at the plate. But the numbers are starting to stack up a little bit. The hits, the home runs, some runs batted in are starting to pile up. So, you know, this is a big, big deal over the final 7 to 8 weeks of the season. I joked about it on social media, Mike. I know you saw it.
Yep.
It's like making a trade without making a trade. But no, it's really getting one of your best players back to being who he is. That could have a huge impact on this lineup, particularly if the other guy, Ronald Acuna Jr., you know, the guy that's really the catalyst for this lineup, if he all of a sudden gets on a heater, we may see a different version and different level of the Braves lineup than we've seen at any point this year.
I was going to try to do the whole conversation with the great without bringing it up. When are they going to cut Kim?
I don't have an answer to that. You know, this is something that they said they have no plan to do that. They've brought him back. He's the 26th man right now, and unless or until something changes and Walt decides to maybe give him some at-bats at shortstop, or, you know, tag him in a game where he can hopefully help the club win in some way, they're going to stick with it, and unless or until they have a better or different option and or they change their mind. But they obviously moved a few things around, and Kim was one of the pieces that was coming in as other pieces were headed out as we headed into the month of August.
Good stuff, Grant. Just keep winning. We'll see where it goes. We'll talk to you tomorrow as this series continues. Appreciate it, man. Good stuff.
All right, guys. Thank you.
That's Grant McCauley. Coming up, someone just got paid. Mm-hmm. Also, did he say what we think he just said? Stay there. We're going to play it for you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Well, our buddy Todd France got it done for Jahmyr Gibbs. It's Dukes and Bell. We've been waiting to hear what this is going to look like, and it's done. Lions running back, three-time Pro Bowler Jahmyr Gibbs has agreed to a 3-year, $67.5 million extension. It makes him the highest-paid running back in the NFL just a few days after Bijan signed his deal. So the particulars of this, it's 3 years, $75 million with $51.5 million guaranteed. B got $50 million. Guarantee. Okay.
So there you go. He was the highest paid guy for 2 days.
And literally, guys, I'm sure that this is structured in a very similar way with bonuses and, you know, all the MVP stuff and you know, receptions, because they're very similar kinds of players. But at the end of the day, it's just a little bit more. And that's what Mike and I always talk about. It's the next guy who gets just a little bit more, right, and that continues to creep up. But this is not a significant, like, he didn't get $50 million more than Bijan.
Not insulting to Bijan.
Correct. And so, but at the end of the day, the deal's confirmed by his agent, Todd France. Todd's a guy that's here in Atlanta, and he does a terrific job for all of his clients. But, Mike, that's now done. And when you start looking at the running backs, there's been a resurgence. Gibbs, B,
right,
Jonathan Taylor, just this week alone. Then you go back to what Saquon did and give him lots of love, man. He kind of reset this thing.
Right.
And you go before that, was Christian McCaffrey when he leaves and goes to San Francisco and Kyle Shanahan takes care of him. So the numbers continue to go up, and all of a sudden now, these guys who felt like they were, I guess, somewhat disenfranchised, Mike, from the right, from the pay that other positions were getting, not the case.
And the fact that Jeremiah Love was a top five pick, he got himself some guaranteed loot. It's funny because it was just about, what, 15 years ago or more that they started to get, they got away from the guaranteed 50 mil, but the salary cap has gone up and the NFL is making so much more money that all of a sudden now guys are starting to get back into that range,
yes,
of the guaranteed portion of their contract.
If you're a top five pick like Jeremiah Love was and you're a running back, doesn't matter. You're getting that guaranteed loot.
And with Bijan, I mean, like, we love Tyler Algier, and now I think Brian Robinson is basically just a poor man's Bijan. You know, Tyler was a different type of runner. I don't think they're very similar, Carl. And I like Brian Robinson. He runs hard.
Yeah.
But in Detroit, it was David Montgomery with Jamar Gibbs. And all of a sudden, it was like, especially for me, that's why I won fantasy. I had Bijan and I had Jahmyr Gibbs. I went all running back. But he eventually just took over the lion's share for Montgomery, and it really became – he was the focal point of that offense.
So here's the crazy thing. Like, we're talking about all the extensions that we've given out, but Detroit's in their window. And they have been. And now you start saying, Mike, okay, they've gotten to that point. It's like San Francisco. We've paid everybody. They pay their running back. Aiden Hutchinson got his deal. 4 years, $180 million. Edge rusher. Jack Campbell, the linebacker they drafted out of Iowa, he's gotten a deal. 4 years, $80 million. Jared Goff got his extension, quarterback. Amon-Ra St. Brown, their star wide receiver's gotten paid. Panay Sewell, all-pro offensive lineman, he got paid.
And that's on the heels of not making the playoffs this year, but you're not going to move away from those guys, just like we wouldn't move away from our guys.
All their guys, though, they're key guys. That's right. Their core. Those are guys they've drafted or either traded for, and they've made a huge impact. This is why the Lions have to try to get it done. Like
this is their window right now.
This is their window, man. And so,
hey, and Dan Campbell missed, who is it, Ben Johnson, who went down to Chicago, right?
Sure.
And he missed him big time last year, and it showed offensively.
It really did. And then I'm leaving out Jamison Williams, who also got a deal, former Alabama wide receiver. They've got a really stacked roster, and that's why a lot of people, we hadn't talked a lot about the Lions because we're
going to play them this year.
But they're good.
Right.
But this is where we're getting into this realm. Where now you're taking care of guys is you're going to build around. And the one thing we don't have, Mike, you start looking at all these positions, they took care of Goff. We don't have that position taken care of.
And we're waiting to see. We talked about it earlier. We had another spirited debate with some of our audience who will accept no other quarterback than number 9. And we understand that. And he's a fan favorite for some. But it's just a matter now of the realities. The realities of the situation. Now, see, if you play that laughter. See, now, the Michael Penix, the big Michael Penix.
He kept repeating, three knee surgeries. Yeah, talk about the three knee surgeries.
I could hear him saying that.
I've become the boogeyman in the Michael Penix Jr. conversation. But anyway. By the way, we play Detroit December 6th. I real quick, Steakhouse, I got to give him a shout out. Thank you, Cha-Cha. Steak asked today, I think is their final three questions. Over under for Penix touchdowns this year. Mm-hmm. Steak said it at 6.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say under.
For Michael Penix to have under 6 touchdowns?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because Tua, if Tua gets the job, he's not, unless Tua really stinks it up and his career is now over. Because if Tua doesn't do well here, Tua's now going to be a guy wearing a baseball hat and he's going to have like 6 more teams on his football card.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, but if Tua doesn't, he's not getting off the field. So the only way, thank you, Chacha. Stakey framed it because how is Penix going to get on the field? If it's mop-up duty, what's that like, and is that going to equal touchdowns?
Yeah.
Unless Tua gets injured or stinks.
The NFL's a long season, and I would tell you that I would believe that Penix is going to have an opportunity to throw more touchdowns than that for the season. But it's fair when you say if he's not starting, and at what point that's a big question mark to say when will that happen. But yeah, that's I gotta believe he's gonna have more than that. But again, when does that come? And at what point in the season does that transition happen? I do not know.
Nine touchdowns in 9 games last year for Michael Penix Jr. 10 touchdowns in 10 games for Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
So I was in the car when I heard
19
that.
19 from both quarterbacks. Is that right? 19.
Yeah, that's why.
That's terrible.
We have the second most sacks in the league. I know we struggled in the run defense.
His over under last year was like 16.
Oh. That's awful.
But I heard that, and I was like, wow, that's a good question. Because it just kind of gets you going, okay.
Well,
it's all about the circumstances, to your point.
It is. That's
if
why
Tua gets the job. Yeah. If Michael Penix Jr. doesn't get a green light until Labor Day, well, then how do you have the competition when you're putting in your game prep?
Well, look, I think there's evaluation going on with what he's able to do right now. I mean, it's not like he's out there taking false reps. He is out there when he's out there, and I do think they're evaluating and seeing what's what. And there, speaking of wow moments, he's had a couple of wow moments already, guys. I mean, it's not like he hasn't had a couple of throws where you go, oh, damn. So
that's why we said, when we were trying to, if you heard the conversation yesterday, a couple of guys were laughing, like, man, you're trying to get some energy out. Well, yeah, he's a low-key guy. We're trying to pump him up.
He is.
But, there's times at practice where he looks like he's fine. You know, and we said that as much to him yesterday. Because he's doing work with the trainers. There's a little bit of stuff that he does in between, if he's not doing the 11-on-11, he's doing the work with his trainers, the rehab stuff. He sprints off the field. I'm like, that looks fine. But the doctors don't say it's time to go yet.
Yeah.
That's terrible, Mr. Boyd.
Jahmyr Gibbs gets his deal. So all these running backs, everybody's going to be at camp. Everybody's happy. And now you can get to your fantasy drafts. We got to play this for you, man, because this is very interesting. This is from the Purdue AD. His name is Tommy McClendon. And this was his introductory press conference, Mike. And people are saying shots fired already. What are you guys doing? But I want you to listen closely to what he says here.
Every recruit, every current student athlete will hear this message repeatedly. We are here to win championships. If you don't want to win championships, go to Indiana.
Okay. Now, you and I have had a lot of fun on introductory press conferences for coaches over the years. I would like to think a man who's ascended to the role of athletic director in the Big Ten, went to college himself, maybe would have a law degree. But Indiana just won the national championship, Joe. You're the worst freaking team in the Big Ten. Oh. I mean, a school in Purdue that has produced 25 astronauts, Carl, has apparently just hired a real rocket scientist. Play it again, Oren. Play it again. AD Tommy McClellan from Purdue.
Every current student athlete will hear this message repeatedly. We are here to win championships. If you don't want to win championships, go to Indiana.
It's unbelievable. Bad reference.
Maybe he was talking about basketball.
Bad
when's
reference.
The last time Purdue won a natty? Last time,
well,
I checked.
They've done better in the dance of late.
Yeah, but Bobby Knight, I mean, you know, other guys. Other coaches have won in Indiana since then.
It's true, and they haven't been relevant in basketball in a while when you talk about tournament runs. They had the big kid, Edie, where they made a nice run a couple of years ago. But bottom line,
they haven't been, I mean, and that was, you're right, that's a great run, but Gene Cady?
Yeah, no.
He left off state.
Yeah, exactly. But I just think, like, that when you say Indiana right now, everybody thinks Indiana football because they are on top of the world. And that's just a terrible reference. But here's the deal. I have no issues with him trying to pump his program up and get people excited about Purdue. But Mike's right. I mean, we're going back to the Drew Brees days? I mean, you got to go back.
I mean, and all Drew, I mean, what's the biggest bowl game Purdue had with Drew? I'd have to go look it up.
Didn't he lose to Georgia? Like, they came back from behind in the bowl game here.
It's a good pull. Yep. Good pull. No, I just, we got a kick out of it. But if you want to win championships, if you don't want to win championships, you go to, what? Okay. I mean,
any questions?
That was even worse. That was even worse. The coach of UCLA, I think it was at the time.
Mike Davis had him at runner-up here in Atlanta.
Oh.
Remember that year?
Yeah. Right. I just, that to me was one of
Indiana.
Those was moments for Tommy where it's like, again, what are you going to do to establish your athletic program and become prominent in the Big Ten? Those are the things you should be preaching. And he tried to take a shot, and I just think it backfired. That's all. Right. It's like, what?
Dave Portnoy from Parsons saw this. You got to fire this guy, right?
Go to Indiana.
Yes, okay. Thank you. Oh my goodness.
Poor Purdue.
If you want to win football games.
Poor Purdue. I feel sad for Purdue. Poor guys.
Hey man, we'll see what happens. I mean, maybe they're competitive this year, Mike. Maybe it's a different year. Maybe he knows something we don't know.
Did I tell you? I told you the story at the Indy 500 last year. We got cold. We came out of the blue. It was rain delays. It was cold. And my buddy Don Mojito, he was cold. So he's trying to find a jacket. All the sweatshirts got sold.
Yes.
And there was a tent day that was selling Indiana and Purdue gear. So Don grabs a Purdue jacket. I told you the story. And it's like people walking up to him. And I guess whatever the Purdue people say, like boiler up. And you're supposed to go hammered down, but Don didn't know what the phrase was.
He didn't know what it was.
Be like, boiler up. Yeah.
Go to Indiana.
And one other thing I'd like to say, any artist out there want to be an artist and want to stay a star, and don't want to have to worry about the executive producer trying to be all in the video, all on the record, dancing, come to Death Row.
Yeah.
Or go to Indiana.
Both Suge and Puffy in jail, man. It's crazy.
That's right.
It's crazy.
That's right.
All right.
Always got to hire your own oil man.
Yeah, that was the Source Awards, right, years ago?
That's right.
All right, man. Tomorrow we're back.
Indiana.
We're back at Flowery Branch. And then we'll be at Hooters, man. It's a Friday. Yeah. Come join us tomorrow.
Hooters.
We're going to have a good time. Mall of Georgia location. Turner's got a full show for you tonight.
Did you ever drink a drink yesterday? We got to get you a cocktail.
Oh, 2 hours. Thank you.
Yeah. Day-Day, can we get you a drink on Friday? One drink?
I had one. Wednesday.
He did.
Okay,
I didn't. I heard him order it in queue. It was a Tito's and cranberry.
That's correct. Yes, he did. He did.
I got one hair on my chest.
Yeah,
way to show leadership.
Yeah, he did. He ordered. You're right, because we got the game tonight. You're right. Look at me. Arizona and Carolina
tonight,
Mike.
It's the Hall of Fame game.
What's the line, fellas?
Oh, tell you right now.
What's the line?
Because we will see. You're going to get to see.
Haynes King
in action.
Yeah.
And Carson Beck.
Yes.
And by the way, the Arizona Cardinals put the worst practice on tape in the history of the NFL. If it's out there, it's viral. A lot of guys are going nuts on that.
What's the consecutive weeks now we have of football until the Super Bowl now? So that starts tonight.
Right. Hold on. I'm looking up right now.
I think it's one, Mike. I think it's one.
It's 1.5.
Yeah,
one.
By the way, if you're betting this game, you really do have an issue.
Why are you looking at me? Call somebody. I'm just asking. I wanted our listeners to be aware of what's going on.
Let's see. Wow. Panthers are 1.5 points. What kind of sick, twisted individual would bet on the Panthers and the Cardinals?
Wow.
I mean, you're going to see basically fourth stringers in for the majority. I mean, what kind of twisted, degenerate gambler would put money on this game?
Wow.
It's hard. It's football, baby.
Panthers, Carl had it right. 1.5 point favorite.
All right, man. Wow. We got to get out of here and clear our throat.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You have made it to the weekend. Tomorrow's Friday, man. We expect you to be here at 2 o'clock. We'll talk to our man, B-Mac, Bryant McFadden, CBS analyst, and he's been making his rounds around the country with various NFL camps. We'll get the latest from him. Steve Coonan's back tomorrow. Is that right, Coonan? Tomorrow? All right. We'll get
you. Yes, I'm back to restore order on this program.
I'm glad you are, Steve. He'll be joining us as well as some of our other regulars, guys. And we'll have a couple of guests from Falcons training camp as well tomorrow. So make sure you tune in. All right. And come through Hooters, Mall of Georgia. All right. Day-Day, great job executive producing. A big O behind the glass, keeping us on track. And of course, as I said, Chris has got you for 2 hours tonight before Arizona and Carolina play the Hall of Fame game right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right. Let's get out of here. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey. Hey, man, it feels like the college sports bill, the Save College Sports bill, is getting traction. But, of course, it made it through Senate. Now it's got to go to Congress. And there's some stumbling blocks right now for the bill. The Congressional Black Caucus, according to Politico, says that we need more time to study it. And they also feel that major athletic institutions profiting from black talent should not remain silent on voting rights issues, specifically in the South.
That's what the holdup is right now?
Apparently. There's other issues, but Miss Yvette Clark, a representative from New York, says black athletes who make up nearly 60% of NCAA athletics and 20% of Division I student athletes have not been meaningfully included in shaping the bill.
Hmm.
Stay tuned.
He says they haven't spoken. And I'm like, why not? Jaylen Brown, when asked if he's talked with Jason Tatum since being traded to Philly, quote, not really. What, bro? Y'all played together for like 8 or 9 years. You went to 5 conference championships. You played in a couple of NBA finals. You won one together. What? Mike, it just makes me wonder about what this is all about. Jason Tatum, bro, pick up the phone. Hey, we had a great run. Nothing?
Nothing. They don't get along, man. Those reports were accurate.
Hey, if you love the show,
tell your friend.
If you don't,
you're a Purdue Boilermaker fan. How you feeling right now?
Go to Indiana.